Welcome to Thinking Ahead, your leading edge insights podcast. Each episode reveals the latest insights on today's consumers and offers a sneak peek of tomorrow's marketplace. Stop guessing what's next and start thinking ahead. Welcome back to another episode of Thinking Ahead, your leading edge insights podcast. I am really excited for today's episode because it is one of our most highly anticipated sessions. We are going to be talking about the Consumer Outlook 2024, and we're back with two of our favorite guests. We have Stacey Barrick and Eric Wagatha. Thank you for joining us.
Absolutely. We love
it. Happy to be here, Anna. Happy to be here.
So today's session is really going to be talking about how brands and marketers can really put their consumers into focus. What are their consumers thinking? We'll look at several areas, including sustainability and tech, and really help set the stage for the year ahead. So let's, you know, start off with the fundamentals. You know, what should brands really be focusing on to connect with today's consumer, Stacey?
So I think to set the context, I want to talk a little bit about what the consumer is grappling with right now. You know, we collect consumer concerns every year. We know that there are a lot of things that people are thinking about and worried about these years. Many of them are focused on the economic uncertainty. You know, while the economic indicators may look better in many areas, consumers don't necessarily feel that. And they feel the stress not only in their own credit growing in terms of their debt, in terms of their money just not buying as much as it used to buy, and the cost of things like healthcare and things related to finances. Beyond that, you know, you turn on the news, you scroll through your feed, and you get lots and lots of bad news all the time. And so they're really grappling with things related to economics, related to risks in terms of, you know, what is still going on with health. They hear about climate change. And then AI has created in itself a whole other set of things that people are thinking about. Can they believe their eyes? What's happening out there, you know, to people? You know, somebody's image being used in ways that they haven't given permission for. And all of this is actually magnified in a year that's going to be an election year, not only here in the U.S., but in some of the other largest democracies around the world, in India and Indonesia. So really, in this market, the polarization and the rhetoric and sort of people thinking, oh my gosh, could we be any more divided, whether it's on political issues, culture wars, religious issues, you know, where do you stand on Taylor Swift and Kelsey? You know, all of that is creating polarization in the world today. So as brands, you're probably sitting there scratching your head going, what do I do in this world? And what we're going to say to you this year is really, this is the time to focus on the fundamentals. You want to be there to make people's lives easier, to help them in what's really become a very annoyance economy. Like, I don't want to turn on the news, it bothers me. I don't want to think about the election, it bothers me. So brands need to be really a reassuring thing and really helping people feel safe and secure, help them simplify and make their lives easier at all possible. Introduce a little fun and joy because people need fun and joy right now.
Stacey, you said it correctly. Where do people stand on the Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce side of things? That is what people need to think about. But more importantly,
Brads and Chads and so on.
And dads.
Dads.
Exactly.
Hey, what about us Swifties? What about us Swifties?
Exactly. Those are the issues, people. But, you know, more importantly, you did set the stage quite nicely because brands are in a very interesting position now, and they need to help consumers feel safe and secure in this volatile environment. And how do you think that brands can go about doing that?
Well, you know, it's interesting. There are many different ways that brands can provide reassurance in this environment. Some of it is just, frankly, you know, companies that are in the business of safety and security. So helping provide physical safety, helping parents feel like their kids are safe on the internet, helping us be careful that our images are being used appropriately. And Eric's going to talk a little bit more about technology and some of the concerns related to that. But, you know, companies that have a pure remit against, you know, protecting your physical safety or the safety of your information, absolutely, that's one way. Another way is simply to be a symbol of stability, to stand for something that you have always stood for, that people can rely on, that they know as everything else is shifting in the world, you are going to be the same. They can rely on you to provide them what you've always provided to them. So lots of different ways around that, you know, and comfort is another way. It's just, you know, it's a difficult time. We know that comfort foods, comfort activities are lots of things that people do to make themselves feel better in times of recession, in times of strife. We all know how we ate during the beginning of lockdowns and the things that made us happy. And so, you know, thinking through the comfort, the reassurance, and really just simply being there as the trusted and true provider. We know that many people, you know, focus on buying products and services from brands that they trust, and they really see a quality thing coming with the brands that they know very well.
So beyond just safety, how can brands go about making their consumer lives easier as well?
Yeah, you know, sometimes less is simply more. And, you know, there is so much choice out there. And that's something we hear from consumers a lot, which is just, they're almost paralyzed by choice. And so make it easy. Make it easy for them. Maybe it's by curating. Maybe it's by being available at hours that they are available. So we really have an expectation right now that brands are going to be around when we need them to be around. So even if it's using your AI tools to help you be around and be accessible from a customer service perspective, but really helping them curate their choice, make it easier for them to interact with organizations on a regular basis, or really helping them in other ways streamline and simplify their lives. And I don't want to leave out the third piece, which is related to just bringing back a little fun and joy. You know, we've seen a tremendous amount of toy, you know, and kid adulting, as they've coined it, of people just trying to do things that they enjoy. I mean, look at the Barbie summer we all had last year, and a lot of millennials just kind of embracing their inner child and wanting to have a little bit of fun. I've been on here before talking about experiential consumers and how important that is to so many people. So in so much as brands can do that, can give people things to brighten up their lives at a time when they're really dealing with so many annoyances, those are all different ways they can help support consumers.
Well, thank you, Stacey, for that. I want to shift the focus a little bit now and look at sustainability. Eric, can you help us understand what are consumers' views on sustainability today?
Right. Sustainability is clearly a mainstream topic across not just various consumer categories, but markets around the world. So one of the things we do at Consumer Life is track sustainability, mindfulness, and practices in over 20 plus markets. And as you can imagine, when question like that, how do people feel about it? The answer is going to be, well, it sort of depends where you are and where you're from, right? Generally, if we take the long-term view, things like, you know, concerns over pollutions and environment, global warming, these are all issues that in the past several decades have gone from academia, from, you know, the tree hugger mindset to truly becoming mainstream, not just as more information has become available, but obviously as brands have started embracing, you know, product and recycling, and governments and cities themselves have encouraged consumers and put in place practices to do that. So in terms of sustainability, you know, we'd argue that this is one of the critical sort of cultural, societal, and brand levels levers that are out there. It's not a plus. It is not an extra. It is not a marketing channel. It is one of the fundamentals of business, whether it's product or service delivery to consumers. That said, you know, if you really kind of look back what's happened the past several years, you know, I would say the consumer mindset at a global level really sort of achieved a bit of a plateau prior to the pandemic. Recycling practices are in place. People understand, you know, plastic is no good. We're moving more towards, you know, reusable water bottles or metal bottles. These are very visible activities that not only brands but consumers can easily embrace. And the argument behind it is not very difficult to support. What was intriguing to us in the past several years is we've seen historically with sustainability that it's top of mind until something else more critical happens to you, like a great recession, jogging us back to now the 2008-2009 timeframe. And so it was always a top of mind issue when the consumer didn't have something more critical to focus in on. Financially, also what that meant were consumers were a little more critical of sustainable product. For some time, there were issues of efficacy versus the price. Why are you charging me something, a premium, to be sustainable if it's at, you know, quality parity or less in terms of efficacy? So these are certainly actual product challenges that brands have increasingly, you know, kind of delivered upon and improved upon. But you were always sort of offsetting the need to do the right thing with, you know, personal or other economic concerns that you might have. Now we get into the pandemic, 2019, and this is rich interesting. We actually thought perhaps, right, global pandemic, not just US, every market, that what would happen to the sustainability mindset? Would it take a backseat to, you know, health concerns and those kinds of issues? And what we actually saw was sustainability actually got a boost in terms of consideration and impact. And I think one of the not so hard to understand reasons why is, you know, the pandemic in some way, that COVID virus was born of nature, right? We believe at this stage. So there was sort of this issue of, yes, it's a health issue, but it's coming from the environment, if you will. So in a way, this helped foster even greater belief and support for sustainability practices. Obviously, in a lot of mega cities, pollution levels, right, went down during the lockdown period and so on and so forth. So there were kind of demonstrable kind of events and ideas that came forth through the pandemic that actually promoted sustainability. Where we are today, and our data would certainly demonstrate this, and I think we showcased some of this during the actual webinar presentation in December, we see a little bit of a pulling back on sustainability. And I think that's a short term. Obviously, we've gone through periods of inflation, concerns over are we heading into a recession, particularly in the U.S., but the measures are still very, very strong, particularly in leading markets in Europe, very, very much more accelerated on sustainability mindset. And what we're seeing in Latin America, particularly because of things like deforestation, which are very, very front and center to folks there. In the US, we are not necessarily the lead market out there, but we are absolutely seeing forward progress, especially with younger generations, millennials, Gen Zs, and Stacey might talk about alphas later on, that this is certainly not a fad. This is not a short term. This is part of the marketing agenda moving forward.
So you really touched on kind of how those views have evolved over time, especially in relationship with events that, you know, people that might affect where they stand on sustainability at the time. But where do you see this going moving forward?
Right. So what I didn't mention was obviously things have progressed. Consumers have become even more savvy as to, you know, what this topic is all about, what's their role, and what do they expect for brands. And brands, of course, have not been sitting still, right? Whether it's through regulatory or through innovation, they're recognizing that this is a part of any corporate vision, whether it's driven by strategy or whether driven by, you know, by dictate, as what's happening a lot in the case of the automotive industry and trying to reduce emissions. So where we really see the next phase of sustainability moving towards is this idea of circular business. And what we mean by circularity is really looking at the full cycle, the full business cycle, the full innovation cycle, the full life cycle of a product, and how sustainability and sustainability practices are addressed throughout. So there are really three phases when you think about circularity. There's what we call the design and manufacturing stage. So how are we bringing that mindset in really upfront? The middle phase is what is the use phase. So now this is when the product is in the hands of the consumer. What are we doing? What are we encouraging them to do? What are we enabling them to do to maximize that product utility and viability? And then finally, on the third phase, which is the disposal phase, you know, what do we do after the end of that product cycle? And historically, and really the initial dimensions of sustainability have really been around disposal, right? We all have the various bins. We understand, you know, what brands are doing with metals or plastics or materials on the back end of it. And so our data, and we have tangible data to really demonstrate how that mindset and expectations from consumers have moved from that disposal phase, which we clearly understand, we clearly expect, to the upfront, that design manufacturing stage. So now consumers are getting more savvy through research and evidence and obviously social discourse of what goes in should be increasingly circular. So we know the concept, you know, garbage in, garbage out. Well, that's kind of very literally the point being made there. The less, you know, the less ineffective or pollutant materials that go into the process, into design, the less there's going to be anyways coming out at the tail end. So this is really critical from a consumer perspective as well as from a brand perspective. How do we minimize, you know, our use of non-sustainable resource on the front end? Even designing, right? This is really gets to the architecture, the designers. How do we build and innovate before we even get to material composition to have sustainability in mind? So that's really where we think the focus is absolutely going and where brands can certainly differentiate themselves. I did mention earlier on the middle phase, and we call that the use phase. And so what we are also starting to see is consumers kind of demanding more utility out of their product, more longevity out of the product. And there's certainly a couple different ways that's happening to bring that to life. Part of that is really through buying used, right? Buying recycled, kind of the repurposing. So the whole kind of used clothing market, even electronics now, is really skyrocketing. We're seeing that. And that's not necessarily just for folks looking for a better value or lower economic output. It's really seen as the right thing to do. And we're actually seeing that higher income individuals are moving more into that territory, unfortunately, kind of squeezing out folks at the lower economic spectra. And secondly, around the idea of that DIY repair yourself sort of movement that's happening. A lot of the products we have from various categories, particularly technology, are very complex, obviously, but to a level of complexity that consumers can't fix them themselves. You break your screen or something doesn't work, you have to go back to the manufacturer. And so there's been a large backlash against that. And so various policies in Europe and in the U.S. are being enacted that basically allows more transparency between brand and consumer in terms of areas of repair and replace, right? If it's just a simple switch or a piece of glass, why am I forced to have to go back to the manufacturer or buy a new, you know, product outright? So the idea of, and those of you in the technology area, you know, the idea of technology being kind of disposable wear, which has sort of been increasingly the norm, we expect to see some pushback to that as people want to hold on to products a little bit longer.
Seems like the circularity trend is something that brands will definitely need to pay attention in the year ahead. So what do you suggest, you know, how can brands embrace the circularity?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, circularity is a long-term, you know, strategic objective. So there are certainly, these are not plans that are put together in short term and then, you know, revisit every 6 months. But there are really kind of three pillars that I would encourage all brands to be considering. One is information transparency. You know, we definitely live in an information-rich world right now. And circularity is clearly, you know, there's pros and cons. There's research for sort of both sides of that and sustainability. There's even disinformation out there. There's even challenging information out there. A real simple example would be, you know, the kind of the counter research against electric vehicles, you know, talking about how, you know, what is the cost to be producing an electric vehicle and electric battery itself in terms of, you know, impact on the earth and, you know, acquiring rare earth metals. So part of this is about information clarity and support, and all manufacturers should be building that dialogue and that clarity of their practices and their sourcing for consumers. The second pillar is certainly going to be, there'll be some disruption in the circularity. It's not always a win-win situation, as a lot of corporations are encountering. In fact, one of the companies we talked about back in December was Lego, who are very, very focused on bringing circular practices in, trying to figure out ways, how do we get away from, you know, these plastic blocks, right, which are petroleum based. And so they've been innovating with various sustainable materials. And one of the dimensions they were exploring was, you know, recycled plastic bottles. And they came to the conclusion, at this current state of where, you know, technology is today, it costs more and does more actual harm to in terms of reprocessing these kinds of plastics into these plastic products. So they're looking at other sort of green materials and stuff, but they're acknowledging very transparently, look, there are some sustainability pathways that won't be viable, you know, in the end, with the positive intention of improving the environment, supporting sustainability, you know, are going to be dead ends. That's okay, but we have other plans in areas that we're exploring as well. So expect disruption in practices. It's not a, you know, clear cut. And finally, and obviously with disruption comes innovation. This is going to open up a lot of areas for brands themselves to develop or partner with, you know, emerging industries around circularity, whether it's in terms of sourcing or, again, longevity and prolongation of products, or on the tail end with recycling. And so, you know, there definitely is, this is a momentum that continues to evolve, and one that we expect to see in you know, certainly leaders in terms of bringing the new innovation forward.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Thinking Ahead. For more information on today's topic, you can click the link in the description. And please make sure to leave us a rating and review. Let us know what you like about the show. And of course, if you haven't done so already, hit that subscribe button to keep up to date with the latest insights. We'll see you next time so that you can keep thinking ahead.